Thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode 134. This was a very fun one to record. I was sitting up on the rooftop dining area of the Raven Cafe in Prescott, Arizona, a great spot for local music and to view some of the local artists that are displayed up there. And I was sitting down today with Wes Williams. He is the leader and the driving force behind the Wes Williams Band. Now, Wes has been on the show in the past a couple of times, two or three times. And it was a joy talking with him and his lady friend Angie, where we sat up there on the rooftop and talked about lots of stuff, everything from his touring schedule, his upcoming show at the Elks Opera House on May 5th. He tells you how to get tickets for that. You can click the Elks link right there in our show notes and get a hold of some tickets for that. Again, that's May 5th, coming up just a short week or so away. It proves to be it'll be a great show. We also got some good parenting advice from the soon-to-be father and mother, both Wes and Angie. So we talked growing up, raising kids, and touring and writing and all that fun stuff, and a little bit of the state of the local music scene. He is changing gears, so to speak, for how he and his band, the Wes Williams Band, will be bringing music to their fans. The first step seems to be this show at the Elks. So May 5th will be a great showcase for their talents, and listen to why he's changing that route of how they will be bringing music to their fans. So sit back and enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, because I sure enjoyed talking with the two of them. Today's show is brought to you by Amazon. Please use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com to do your online shopping. Pick up a gift for Angie and Wes for their new nursery that they'll have to be stocking. They're expecting their child in, I believe it's September. So jump on milehighshow.com, pick them up a gift or two from Amazon, and that's a way you can do some online shopping. You can help outfit their nursery and support our show all at the same time. That Amazon link takes you directly to your regular Amazon or Amazon Prime login. No extra cost to you, but it does let Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little thank you at the end of the month. Also brought to you by Audible. There's an Audible link right there as well. You can click on that at milehighshow.com and choose a free audio download from the nearly 200,000 titles that are there. Search parenting. I'm sure there's some great books on parenting. One of the books I've been listening to, and I love it, I've gone through it a couple of times, is Born Standing Up, the Steve Martin story, read by the author Steve Martin, the wild and crazy guy himself. Now, by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout at Audible, you get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial. And it's a great way to support this show so we can continue to bring you great artists like Wes Williams and the others that we bring you each and every week. Also, BarkBox. Happy pets make happy homes. You can get free goodies for your furry friends, your pets at home, from BarkBox by clicking that link at milehighshow.com. That's enough advertising. Let's get on with the show. Episode 134 from high atop the Raven Cafe in Prescott. This is Wes Williams. And don't forget the Wes Williams Band, May 5th at the Elks Opera Theater in Prescott.
I walked in by myself tonight. My hands were in my pocket and saw you for the first time in a while. You had on that summer dress that I love so much, and that old familiar look like you know everything. And tonight we gon' celebrate the moon. But I got nervous, shaking knees. I forgot all of the rules. I don't drink no more, so it's hard to play it cool. I still got that note you wrote me. It's folded on my nightstand. Now you're here and I'm so scared. Now's my chance to turn this thing around. We gon' celebrate the move. I said, oh, come on now, baby, and turn this thing around. Come on now, come on now, and turn this thing around. On now, baby, and turn this love around. Yeah. To turn this thing around. I brought you a drink, and you brought me a smile. I sat on down, got comfortable. We gon' be here for a while. I sitting outside. I could have been anywhere. Simple little words like when and where. And tonight we gon' celebrate the move. I said, oh, come on now, baby, and turn this thing around. Come on now, come on now, and turn this thing around. Come on now, baby, and turn this, turn this, turn this love around. To turn this thing around.
All right.
That will wreck the show by turning my mic on.
Right. So the song I just played was Turn This Thing Around. That's one of the 10 or 12 new songs I've kind of written this year that we're going to put on a record at some point this year. I just had one of those like periods of time as a songwriter where I just like sat down and wrote 10 songs, you know, all of them brand new and all of them just out of nowhere. It was like 2-3 weeks and I just banged out all these songs after not having written one for, you know, 6 months or something. So,
man,
the waterfall.
Now, did you find yourself having any theme running through those new ones?
A lot of this.
You got some stuff going on in your life.
How
much of that was playing in?
The woman ended up in a few of them for sure. You know, as they tend to do. and if they don't, you know, when I'm writing, sometimes I get a little bubble that kind of pops up out of the side of my head that with her face in it that says, "You better make this song about me, boy." You know. So yeah, that's definitely a theme, is some girl and some love stuff and a lot of just stuff that comes out of the soul, you know what I mean? And that can be whatever. Sometimes it's just a soul song about feeling happy, and it's simple as that, you know. And then that one that I just did was like, you know, it's kind of like a begging song. That's a kind of a theme too, you know, of kind of turning things around and giving things a second chance and this and that. So that's been a recurring theme in my life, actually. Second chances, you know. So, yeah.
As long as you got them, take them.
Take them if you got them.
When those second chances dry up.
I know.
That's when you take up podcasting. Now, talk a little bit about, I'm trying to think of the last time I grabbed you on mic for a real brief couple of minutes several months ago. It was
back of the birdcage. Man, I do my best thinking in back alleys. That was the spot. I think I told you that.
We were standing out in front of your van. You were in the middle of a road trip.
Uh-huh.
I think.
As usual.
Did a little stop in town.
Yep.
Played a couple of gigs and then heading back out again.
That's right, yeah.
Are you trying to stay a little closer to home as of late, or are you still touring like crazy?
We've slowed down a little bit this year, kind of giving guys in the band room to breathe. And, you know, my drummer Matt has a wife and kids at home, and he's working. You know, I think he's the only guy in the band that has like a slave to the man. He's got a normal job, you know.
Gig.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, two kids, and you know, he's out there making money. So, we slowed down a little bit to give those guys kind of some breathing room.
Yeah.
But we're still getting around Arizona quite a bit. In May, we have a big hometown show on the 5th, and then 2 days later, we're opening up for Roger Klein and the Peacemakers at Folsom.
Nice. That Sunday show, I think?
Yep. It's a Sunday show in the afternoon. It'll probably sell out here in the next week. We're thinking our show at the Elks Theater will probably sell out here in the next week. We're doing one of our favorite places, the main stage up in Cottonwood. They're having their fourth anniversary party on May 20th. And we're a part of that, which is really cool that they wanted us to be there for that, with Decker, Brandon Decker, who's a Cottonwood guy who's gotten pretty big around Arizona too. So he's headlining that show and we're opening for Decker.
Yeah, he just, but maybe several months ago, did a swing through the Eastern Seaboard, spent some time in New York.
I saw that.
What was his latest release?
Snake River Blues.
Snake River Blues,
killer album, yeah.
Great album.
And that guy's killer, man, because I respect anybody right off the bat. It makes me take notice if they're out there putting out real deal music videos and touring and really trying to do the deal, which is kind of has been a theme for us lately a little bit, is, you know, that the bar scene, it's a love-hate relationship, I think, that we have with, like, playing bars.
Yeah.
Because you can't dismiss it, because that's where you start. You start playing the bars, and if you're lucky, people like your shit, and they want to you know, pay money to buy your record and come see you at bigger places. But at the same time, I mean, you have, you know, people yelling Freebird and stuff like that, which now I'll just play it. You know, I got to the point where if somebody yells Freebird, we just play it, you know. And
with your own Wes Williams spin on it.
Yeah, yeah. We just go right into the good part at the end, you know, the big solo there. But yeah, so, you know, and we're doing like this really nice theater, and it's not that you know, we're like, oh, I don't want to play at bars, because it's the funnest thing in the world, but it's easy to get kind of lost in translation, I think, with a million other bar bands that are playing covers and stuff like that. And it's a great way to make a living. And I would never say a bad word about being in a cover band or anything like that. It's just, that's not what we've wanted to do from the beginning. You know, we've wanted to play original songs and see where we could get with these original tunes, you know.
And you tend to, when you bring the full band out, you tend to bring a bit of a bigger show. You got your horn section.
Right.
What are you currently touring with when you go out? About how many?
Well,
and who? Plug them away.
Right, sure. So it's grown. It goes in waves. You know, we went through a little period where we stripped it down recently to the core four, we call it, which is just me and Adam Haar and Dennis Messenger and Matt Hepburn, the core four of the band, two guitars, bass, and drums. And we did a couple gigs like that and just had a blast kind of getting to know each other again musically without so much going on. John Hust, who's like kind of a Prescott legend in his own right, one of the best musicians in town by far. He's joined in with us playing keys, killer keyboard player. So that made five. And then we picked up Kevin Tagney, who plays down in Phoenix with the Sugar Thieves a good bit, playing trumpet for us, and he's doing a couple of these gigs with us. And then our newest guy, Jules, is a saxophone player that I met. He was busking on the street. I drove through the square and I heard this kid blowing the saxophone, and I turned my music down and listened to him, and I was like, that guy's incredible.
Yeah.
And so I just jumped out of the truck and was like, you trying to play gigs or what's going on? You know? So we got him, where are we at? Seven, I think. And then I've got Johan Glidden, who's like a little child prodigy, 19-year-old, one of the most talented musicians I've ever met. He's 19 years old.
Man.
He's playing fiddle and singing. So now we've got me and Adam and Johan doing these big three-part harmonies, and it just sounds killer.
That could make the Birdcage stage a little tight.
I know.
Eight or nine of you up there.
Yeah, but the... So maybe that's the reason we're playing the Elks Theater.
Now, again, hit the Elks. You're doing that Cinco de Mayo, May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo, May 5th. And the tickets for that are, you can call 928-777-1370. I've got that number memorized. That's the Elks Theater box office. Or go to PrescottElksTheater.com and get some tickets.
And the rest of your dates are all available. What's your web for the band?
If you want tour dates and stuff like that for the band, we do everything on Facebook. So Facebook.com, Wes Williams Band.
Wes Williams Band. You were split a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
You had like two pages going. Did you get that?
Don't confuse them, Matt.
No, that's God, what I'm saying.
I know.
I'll do the right link on the show notes.
Yeah. Wes Williams Band. Yeah.
Wes Williams Band.
You got it.
Now, we'll get back to the music. I definitely want to talk more music and maybe have you play another one. But
you
got
other
stuff going on in your life.
I do.
What do you What's going on?
Well, to begin this conversation, let me tell you something. You have no idea what I have going on in my life because it's we've had a very interesting couple of days. And so, yeah, we found out that we were pregnant on New Year's Eve. And I was leaving a gig in Havasu. We had done New Year's out there, yeah. And we had just packed up and we're heading back to Prescott in the middle of the night. And it was just me and my bass player in the van. The other guys had split off, and I got a call saying I'm pregnant on New Year's Eve. And so that was a pretty cool way to bring in the new year. And then, kind of on a darker note a little bit, too. It's like a circle of life thing going on. Just 2 days ago, my roommate passed away.
Oh.
Young guy, 33, drug overdose.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so it's been a rough weekend, but... As far as just like talking and being open, you know, yeah. This is like what's going on, and it's sad. It's a rough deal, and songs come out of that too, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot of circle of life stuff going on. You know, he was like one of my best friends, and he, you know, just recently passed, and so we're just back to focusing on having a baby and making a healthy little baby.
Yeah. That is, like you say, this, you know, the whole circle of life, it really can hammer in the appreciation of the good things you have going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know in past conversations with you, in dealing with and helping out others who are struggling with different substance problems and
right.
substance issues is not something that's foreign to you.
Right.
You
definitely have experience there, yeah.
And helping people out?
Yeah, and, you know, life has, like, shifted so many times. You know, I'm 28 years old. You know, my girlfriend's 5 months pregnant, and life has shifted a bunch of times. You know, I've tried to be, like, a touring musician while balancing, you know, a steady work at a, you know, at a treatment center or whatever. And then I've gone to, now I'm in the happiest place overall life-wise I've ever been, because you know everything I do to make money is music.
Yeah,
we've got a every Tuesday night gig we do with a bluegrass four-piece at Far From Folsom.
Far From Folsom, is that your tie-dye Tuesday?
That's tie-dye Tuesday at Far From Folsom, and they just got voted best tacos in town. By the way,
that's because they didn't come to my house.
I actually kind of believe that.
Mine.
Yeah. So you know, I do that. I've got a church gig with Kenny James every Sunday morning. That's like a killer gig and pays the bills. And then, you know, I work with Ted Leonard all the time for Prescott Pro Sound. And so everything I'm doing for a paycheck is music, you know,
music
and it's killer.
And entertainment related. What
right.
a great way to transition, because for a lot of folks in this area specifically, but just in the arts community in general, it's not necessarily the money aspect. It's, you know, they have to supplement it with that
right.
9-to-5 or the straight job, and to be able to live off of your art. What
right.
what a pleasure that is, man.
I know.
That's great.
It is really cool to be able to do that, and I know a lot of people try to do that,
yeah.
and it's hard, you know, and so we've been really lucky. Yeah. We really have, you know. It's cool that people like us, and I still yeah. get blown away when we finish a song and people clap, you know.
Now, I know she said, Angie didn't want to get on mic, but I'm gonna put you on the spot just for a minute.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna hand you one over.
We're going to turn that one back up.
I want to know, I forget what one. Oh, it's the one that's on zero.
Oh, right.
Easy to do.
Perfect. Leave it there.
You can.
All right, I'm sorry.
You can hold that. She's going to throw it at me. I should have left it on the stand.
Okay, let's Jerry Springer this
now,
thing. What's going on?
You let him know on the phone in the bus. When did you find out you were pregnant? How far before that?
I found out about an hour or two before I had told him.
Oh,
maybe a little bit earlier in the day. I think it was actually earlier in the afternoon, but he was playing a gig and I wasn't sure what time he was going to be available, and we had taken a little break from each other.
Yeah,
we
took a little break, yeah.
So it was kind of like uneasy waters. Like,
well, she said it now. I mean, I didn't say it. She said it. So now we can talk. Now we can put this
we
in
like
the open.
We like the breaks,
you know?
In this relationship.
Yeah. That was kind of what was pretty cool about the whole thing is, you know, at that point we were like not together, and we were like,
yeah.
that was it. And then here comes the pregnancy phone call, and it's like, oh, man.
And I was really surprised because we had had, you know, not the easiest conversation before that, and we were parting ways and moving on. And
what did you call me again?
Family show. Hold on.
And when I called him to tell him I was pregnant, he was so happy. And I was really surprised by that reaction, just because of the events that had happened before that. But it was amazing to see... you know, how we could reconnect over that.
Well, and that's
little a surprise.
That's a good way to look at it. So pretty much instantly you told them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, within that, I mean, I've known some couples who will, the mom will sit on it for a little bit to process it.
Right, right.
My wife was, she found out the day she told me, the morning she told me, but she had her suspicions for a couple of weeks and didn't say anything.
Right.
She was a little skittish about telling me.
Right.
And she told me at about 5 a.m. after I had been asleep for only about an hour and a half. She
right.
woke me up, and it was a little... I think she was more shocked than I was.
Right.
But it was... it has turned out to be great news. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks he's my grandson.
Right. come on.
So you're 28. Yeah. So you're... That's prime. That's perfect.
That's what they say. People have told me that. Yeah.
Mid-40s when he was born.
Oh, damn. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, yeah. Because I already feel like, you know, I feel like an old man sometimes already.
Well, everybody kept telling me, it's going to be great. I'm 51 now. He's 7.
Right.
So everybody kept telling me, it's going to be great. He's going to make you feel so young. No. Trying to follow a toddler around or a 2-year-old around on the floor crawling around, nothing makes you feel older
right.
than trying to get up off of bum.
Oh man, I know.
But you're 28. I mean,
shoes
are 28.
Well, I get that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm 28, but for like 8 years, we lift amps every night, and everybody, you know, rock star. We're not rock. You know, we work for a moving company.
So if anybody's looking for an internship, get a hold of Wes. You can.
Oh, I'm so about it. If you'd love to come carry heavy boxes around drunk people at 2 a.m, we'd certainly appreciate it. Now. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I know.
So how did that transition now after that middle of the night phone call to Havasu? What was we were heading home right then?
I was, yeah. Me and my bass player had our New Year's toast at, we were like somewhere in Skull Valley on the road, you know, for when the clock struck midnight. So yeah, we got home pretty late, and I went over there, and we, you know, were happy, and you know, we had some work to do and some changes to make and trying to figure out what's going on. But this is life, you know.
Well, you guys are like a living art piece. You know, like
yeah.
Well, think about it. You know, just whether it be a photograph or a painting, you got those negative spaces, the blanks. You've got that portion of a song where it's the transition period.
Right.
It looks like you were living through one of those.
Absolutely. It is a really song, nice, you know, it's all a song. It comes together. Sometimes it just comes together right away and you know exactly what you got. And sometimes you've got a verse and a chorus and that you sit with that for a year and wait for the bridge, you know? And that's kind of what we're doing right now, is just waiting for the bridge.
No, we're...
you know?
As long as it's not one to jump off.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Now, we're sitting out on a Monday out at the rooftop at the Raven. Nice spot up here. Like I said, I hadn't been up here before.
Thank you. Yeah, I built this myself.
You built it yourself?
I did. Yeah, you like that? There's a very intricate rooftop right there. That took me about 3.5 minutes, and
he
I had that up.
Art.
Yeah.
So where was I going? I forget what I was going to say. He interrupted me with
my architecture.
Oh no, I know it is. It's a Monday. You said in 2 days you're going to find out whether boy or girl. Now you, Wes, who's used to being on the mic, you keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Angie, you're hoping for
a little boy.
A little boy.
Mm-hmm. I grew up with all boys. All my cousins are boys. My brothers are boys. My uncles are boys, and
I'm a boy.
We're all boys. A bunch of boys.
I'm a boy.
Wes pushing for little Angie Jr.
It's a girl. We all know it's a girl.
Yeah, we have a feeling it's a girl.
It's a girl. Everybody knows. She's just being difficult because it's a girl.
Yeah.
I want a little girl.
He's going to be devastated if it's a boy.
I know. Now we have this on tape, too, and I'm on tape saying I hope it's a girl. So if it's a boy, we got to erase this part.
Okay. Well, you'll have to call me before Wednesday afternoon.
I will. We'll let you know so we can follow up.
My, because of where we were at, like I said, we had been married 15 years, no kids, wasn't on the radar, weren't planning for it. And on my end, didn't matter. I mean, you can till whenever. But my wife was as they would consider at the hospital, of advanced age.
Right, of advanced age.
She doesn't listen to these, so I can say whatever I want.
How's her cooking? Since she doesn't listen.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
okay.
You don't come across this body by accident. But
great.
She, you know, after. You know, she was in her 40s as well. We're 2 years apart to the day.
Okay.
And she's 2 years younger than me. So what was she, 40? I don't know.
Y'all have the same birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can't really forget her birthday.
We didn't know until we were filling out the wedding. The marriage license. The lady thought we did it wrong.
Right.
No, that's right. When were you born?
No way. That's pretty cool. I need a reminder. I wish our birthdays were on the same day so I wouldn't forget.
And my son was pretty close. He was due in, we're in September. He was due in October, but came a little early.
All right.
And I was trying to have her hold out for the same date, but
right.
She wouldn't wait that extra 5 days. You know how moms can be a little selfish.
Babies too.
Yeah.
But so we there was issues, you know, as far as concerns with the doctors and stuff, because she was. I think they start calling it an at-risk pregnancy, like after like 30, early 30s.
Oh, is that right?
You know, they got to, you know, it's the statistics and things. So in her 40s, early 40s, we were concerned. And so I know a lot of people say this, but in true reality, we were just hoping for a healthy child, mm-hmm. which thankfully came about. But in the back of my head, and that was my pat answer, and we just hope the baby's healthy,
right.
We hope everything goes smooth, which we were, but in the back of my head I was so hoping for a boy,
right,
for purely selfish reasons. I have never and never will understand women, so to raise a girl I would have been at a complete loss. I'm at a loss with a son, and I've done that. I was
right.
There.
Uh-huh.
But to try and raise a girl and then have a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl in my home.
Right,
at the time, when that will be, I'll be in my 60s. So, you know, just to try and fend off teenage boys in my 60s from my walker wouldn't be a pretty sight.
Uh-huh.
So for myself, I don't know, my wife will have to answer for herself, but for me, a boy was just so much easier. And now I got my little buddy I get to
have. I know.
I like how you say that because Wes has his mother, his sister, and myself, who all have very bold personalities, and he can hardly deal with the three of us. So I wonder what a little prima donna 12-year-old, 13-year-old going through puberty daughter is going to do to him. He's going to go crazy.
Either way. And then looking at the two of you, man, this kid's hitting the genetic lottery, man. My son, great-looking kid, takes after my wife for sure.
Well, good.
Yeah, he ain't lying. But you guys, this is going to be a... This is good. Look at the
supermodel.
Two of you. This is going to be a supermodel baby, man.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
So here's my parenting philosophy. This is what I've decided. I'm going to lay this.
I'm still learning.
Let me tell you what
he's got it all dialed in already. Yeah. I like that.
I got it all figured out. This is it. So
the opposite of what he's about to say.
I know. It really is, probably. But no, my philosophy at this point is do whatever you want. Just don't hit your head. That's it. That's the whole philosophy. So anytime they're like, I want to do this, be like, okay, just don't hit your head. You just got to let them do whatever they want and do their thing, you know, within reason, as long as they don't hurt themselves, you know? I mean, because I feel like what screws a lot of people up is being stifled from their real personality and who they are. And so that's what I mean by that.
Unless you have a little boy, then when he's about 5 or 6, it's not so much do whatever you want and don't hit your head. It's do whatever you want and don't hit me. Because I have been turned into the punching bag.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's, you know, little boys have that energy.
Right.
And they can't take it out at school. Zero tolerance. No pushing, no shoving, which... You know,
it's ridiculous.
Foreign to me.
How dare them?
And he's almost my wife's size now. I mean, you know, they're
right.
Not too much different.
He's getting big, yeah.
So the rule in our house, I'm the only one he can punch. I'm the only one he can wrestle.
Yeah, don't hit mommy. Right.
Which is fine until he was about 2 years
ago. Oh, I'll wrestle my son.
And now he's taken me.
Oh, now he can get you, huh?
He chucked something at my head the other day. He was playing catch. I wasn't involved until it was thrown at my head.
Until you were playing catch with your head.
I was playing catch. So we got to tell me, because if you don't tell me,
it's
just throwing.
It takes two to tango. Yeah.
But you're right. You know, I watch some of the parents when I pick them up and drop them off at school and things, and, I mean, they're almost bubble wrapping these kids.
Right.
And I'm kind of raising a wolf, kind of, you know, he's just kind of running crazy. But it reminds me of a story. I had a buddy of mine in high school. I was in high school before you guys were born. And he had this was in the 80s, and he had a 68 Dodge truck that was immaculate. It was in perfect shape, except for this big dent on the driver's side front quarter panel.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the car truck from his dad, and his dad never, his grandfather never had a new vehicle, his dad never had a new vehicle, and in the late 60s, his wife convinced him, you deserve a new truck. He uses it for work, get yourself a new truck. And he didn't want to get it because he was, in his mind, he goes, I'll be afraid. I'll ding it. I drive beaters. They scratch. They get dinged. No problem. She talked him into getting a new truck. First thing he did, got the paperwork and the keys from the salesman, and he kicked the fender. And the salesman, what are you doing? He goes, now I'm not going to be afraid of denting it. And in all those years, that was the only thing wrong with the truck.
Wow.
I do that in parenting because we used to sit when he was, you know, first born. We brought him home from the hospital. I was freaking out. I was listening to him breathe. I couldn't sleep, worried about him getting a cut or something. So to get over that hump, I just smacked him in the mouth with a hammer. And now I'm not worried about him doing anything, and it makes it a lot easier when it's time to put his toys away.
Too. Right,
so
right,
he listens
right.
A little better.
Yeah, I bet.
No, I did. When he was about 2, I accidentally knocked him over, and he split his lip open.
Oh, right,
and
right.
That was like, we freaked out, and then like 5 minutes later, he forgot about it.
Right, so. Exactly. So that was your front fender.
Yeah, that was my front fender, just knocking him over once.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I tell you, that was a big life changer for me,
mm-hmm.
already set in my ways in my 40s, to have a little midget running around the house.
I know. I've never had kids or anything like that, so it's hard to... You can't really wrap your head around it, and so I've kind of stopped worrying. You know, it's all just life, and, you know, it happens to everybody. Everybody somehow manages to take care of these little things and learns what to do, so I'm not too worried, you know.
You're
I'm just happy
taking,
and excited.
You going to be taking him or her on the road?
We'll be taking him on the road when
we
get in LA. Yeah, when we get in some nicer, you know, we're still in our 15-passenger van with a trailer on the back, you know, so it's not exactly the lap of luxury, but, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got planned over the next, how far in advance do you book?
We book pretty far out. So at the end of July, I'm going to take a little time off in the fall to have the baby.
So when do you do?
September 7th.
We're going to cruise out to my mom's house in Baton Rouge, Louisiana,
nice.
And have the baby out there and chill out for a little bit, kind of at the end of the summer, right before the baby's due. And before that, we're going to kind of grind around the Southwest a little bit. We're doing some California stuff. It looks like we've got a Denver run coming together for July.
Nice.
And then the big ones coming up around here are our show at the Elks. We're opening for Roger. And then we have a really killer weekend planned the first week of June. There was some kind of trouble this year with the summer concert series and not too many bands got booked to do a Friday night out there. They're only doing 4 Fridays. We're doing the first one, June 2nd. The next night, June 3rd, we're headlining the Party in the Pines Festival out at Mile High Football Field mm-hmm. behind Far From Folsom. And then Sunday, we're going to do a headlining show at Far From Folsom in the afternoon
oh,
and
nice,
do tickets
nice.
For that show, too.
Now, the summer concert series, that's the ones on the courthouse?
Yeah.
On the square?
On the square.
Nice.
And Ted's, my boss, Ted, is doing sound for pretty much every single show I'm playing in Prescott for the coming 2-3 months.
Now, have you not played the Elks before?
No. Well, actually, you know what? That's not true. We played the Elks in 2010. We kind of were just getting the band together. I had some different players at that time. The guys from Spafford were playing with me, Brian Moss and Jordan Fairless and Robbie Watson from, he lives in Flagstaff now. So it was a different lineup, but we got roped into some, you know, I think it was reggae or something like that. And we were one of like 4 or 5 bands and there was only three, you know, there was like 30 people there or something. It wasn't.
Didn't you do a video there?
We shot some solo just recordings in there a couple, like a year ago, you know, just on a off day, went in there and such a beautiful theater. I mean, that's
gorgeous. Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this gig, and there's a lot of Prescott people that have wanted to play that theater, and it's kind of, the name of the game was always kind of like, will it translate? If you're a popular band in Prescott and you, you know, do all the big gigs and you do the big Whiskey Row gigs on Saturday night, can you translate that to ticket sales at the Elks Theater? And our answer so far is so far so good.
Good,
you know?
Good.
And
We talked to... very briefly backstage a few weeks back at that
voila
Prescott Valley, yeah,
voila
the Prescott Valley Event Center show.
It made me want to talk, you know, like in a French accent for like the rest of my life, and maybe I could continue this interview in a French accent.
Yeah, swap that beanie out for a beret.
A little bit of the beret. Oops. I'm wearing a women's beanie right now, but it's a fashionable statement.
It's very French
now,
of you.
The question that we were talking about, I don't know if you remember, but because I had been talking with Les Lyman about a similar conversation a couple hours before I saw you, and it's a lot of the art forms are represented in this, whether it be music or, in my case, photography or you know, whatever, painting, sculpture. A lot of people in the arts don't, it's, the patrons have a hard time placing a value on it. You know, when they can go and see a band play at a local bar and it, you know, there's no cover, it's free, or I had a conversation with somebody who was organizing a fairly big event and they were looking for a photographer. And they asked me about it. And I says, yeah, I could work you out a good rate. And they kind of interrupted me and says, well, not a rate. We won't charge you a lot to come and photograph. They were charging photographers to come and photograph it as a sponsorship type of thing.
Got it.
There's a lot of businesses around that will display art, put your name on it, you know, paintings and sculpture and that, but they won't purchase it. So it's difficult for artists to make a living in a lot of cases because people want the art for free. They want it
And so here and this is something I talk about quite a bit. And so the answer to that is, you know, you have to decide your own value. Yeah. You can't kick back and wait for them because just talking about Prescott and the Prescott market for music and entertainment. So we have a small town in northern Arizona that's, you know, what's the population here? 65,000 people,
like that,
you know. So we're looking at a small town, and out of nowhere, we're so fortunate to have this amazing Whiskey Row kind of quote, I'm going to put it in quotes, music scene.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when people talk about the Prescott music scene, it irks me a little bit because... that's not what it is. Let's just be clear. It's a bar scene.
Yeah.
It's a bar scene with bar bands. And if you can go just have a killer rock star night on a Saturday night at one of these great spots on Whiskey Row, that's amazing. But at the end of the day, you know, that is it's a free show and people are going to only value you so far.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying anything negative, but what I want to point out is, you know, we've traveled all over the country and you kind of have some numbers as far as how much merch we sell and, yeah. and this and that. And we come back to Prescott and it's the lowest.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. People aren't invested. They're there to have a good time. They're at a bar. So if you want to be a bar band, there's nothing wrong with that because you can make a killer living at being a bar band. You know what I mean? And play yeah. covers and play the stuff people want to hear and just dominate the bars, you know, and that's awesome. But that's just not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so the answer to your question is, well, if people can see you for free, then, you know, how are you going to get them to pay a ticket? And the answer to that is, guess what? People can't see us for free anymore.
Yeah.
And that's just what, if you want to go to that place, that's what you have to do. And it's a yeah. sacrifice. And so as a result of me pulling out of the bars this year completely with the band, with Wes Williams Band, you know, my musicians that make up Wes Williams Band, they've put together little side project yeah. bar bands to go make their money as musicians, you know, and that's awesome. And they've got a killer project going on, Scandalous Hands, that my guitar player Adam Haar leads. Great cover band, awesome band. But yeah, and so, you know, that's kind of what it is for us at this point as far as Arizona and a lot of these other markets go, is you just, you know, you work at it yeah. and you pull back and you can't see us for free anymore, you know?
Yeah, and there's some great musicians up and down the row that do a great job playing the hits. They
right.
play, you know, it's like, you know,
it doesn't
almost
get
like
it,
the jukebox
type. Right, and
they're great.
It just doesn't do it for yeah. me personally, you know. I even as a music fan,
yeah.
I like walking into a bar and hearing a song that I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially from a band that I like or whatever. And that's cool. But as a performer, it's selfish, you know, because it's selfish and it's not, because I have this vision of, like, we have these songs and this style of music and this way that we perform that I love having a crowd of people that I can work with.
And what you guys are bringing to the stage is very, very unique to you guys. The
right.
style, the musicianship, and the original songs you're doing are incredible. To plug your last CD, what was it?
We just put out another live record out a live record about a month ago. It's all over the internet. Wherever you get your music, it's there. It's on iTunes and Spotify and
nice.
All that. But it's a live recording of our last show in Phoenix at the Rhythm Room as part of our Mardi Gras tour that we were on. And the name of the album is One Night in Phoenix. And it's
nice.
12 tracks, I think, that are all killer.
Room.
Yeah.
Rhythm Room.
That was a fire show. It was that was super fun.
And again, a club that has a cover that you
right.
go to hear quality musicians,
right.
quality artists do their stuff.
Exactly.
And I understand exactly what you're saying. It's great to walk into a spot, especially if your goal as a customer, as a bar goer or whatever, is to go out, have a couple drinks with some friends on a Friday night, Saturday
right.
night, and you happen to walk into a place and there's a great band playing, and it's kind of a nice surprise kind of thing. And you can have that a lot.
Right.
Up and down the row and even out in the Verde and that. But when you guys take the stage, it's really an event.
Right.
And you bring a crowd with you when you are there. And they're there to see you guys.
Yeah.
Which is always nice to see.
Yeah. And that's we've been really lucky. And I can't say yeah. enough about that. That it's a really cool feeling. And it still blows me away
yeah.
that people come out. But at the same time, that's kind of the point, is, you know, we've managed to do it at places like Far From Folsom and the Birdcage, where the idea is ultimately your background music, but we kind of take the spotlight and
yeah.
say, no, we're going to put on a show tonight.
Yeah.
And we've had some good luck at that. But it's not a matter of arrogance or wanting to say you're better than being a bar band. It's a matter of self-worth. And that's
yeah.
how I look at it. It's not saying, oh, we're so good. It's just saying we believe that we're good and that
yeah,
we're a product
yeah.
and that, you know, we've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, you know, like, buy some tickets and come on out and we'll put on some shows, you know. We're getting in
yeah.
some bigger rooms this year and trying to do some bigger things. And
yeah, and it would be nice to see that other tier of music in this area where you have those events like
right.
like a regular thing at the Elks.
Yeah, and we have some killer yeah. venues here and you know, everybody's afraid of it. They just take the easy money, which is Whiskey Row, because it's built in and you don't really have to do
yeah.
any work to promote it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, promoted, you know, to whatever. It's like, it's a built-in crowd. Those people are there to
yeah.
hang out at Far From Folsom, not to see your band.
Yeah.
which is cool because you can make them fans of your band. But I mean, you look around Prescott, we have this place right over here. We can see it. That place right there. Prescott Center for the Arts, I think that is. Is like, I was in there helping Lynn Roberts like a couple months ago and saw that room for the first time and was like, how do we not have shows here? I mean, this is like the coolest like theater with the vertical seats that go up and
the primarily stage productions there, dramatic productions. But I saw, it was part of Tom Agostino's thing a year or so ago. I'm going to butcher it. You probably know who they are. The Dirty River Bourbon.
Dirty. Something. Oh, wait. I think you're actually onto something there. Yeah. The Dirty Bourbon Blues, maybe.
Great. Yeah.
I think it's ringing a bell.
And they do a great, it's primarily music and great musicians,
right.
But they mix a little showmanship and some stage stuff in there. Dirty River.
Yeah.
I'll fix this in post. No, I won't.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I'll put it, but great spot for music.
There's a lot of great spots for music.
And it's not utilized for that. It would be great to see that there.
Right.
It would be great to see some more original music at the Elks. You guys.
And I mean, not just the Elks with 500 people, which, you know, we kind of set the bar high for ourselves and are trying to meet it, you know? But at the same time, it's like, it's on the musicians, not on the people, to create a quote-unquote real music scene, because you could go to Gurley Street Coffee and close it down and charge $5 at the door and bring 20 people there, but it creates the music scene. It creates people saying, oh, this band is playing here, and this, you know, and it's $5, $10. I mean, you know, come on, $5, $10, you know, like...
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
That's a cup of coffee.
Right.
Starbucks.
And
not
so,
a sponsor.
And people do know that, but at the same time, the musicians have taught the people how to respond. And when people hear cover, they're like, next.
Yeah.
And they just move on to the Birdcage or wherever has, you know, a free band that they can dance to and enjoy, which is great. And I'm glad that Prescott provides that. But, you know, we're trying our best, at least for ourselves, to create an environment that's a little bit different than that.
Now, are you hoping that specifically the Elks, but other venues too, you hoping to have a regular set of shows here in Prescott? Is that your goal to shoot for that?
Regular in the sense of every couple of months, you know, because the other big thing about the Prescott music scene is even bands that are great, they play every day.
Yeah.
And you can see them everywhere. And so that was the idea this year, was to pull back, because you can't see us everywhere. Yeah. We haven't played, Wes Williams' band hasn't played in Prescott since January. You know, and we pulled back for the year. And that was, or February, I think it was. But, yeah, we pulled back for the year and had to wait it out. And, you know, instead of taking the easy money of all these bar gigs, we pulled out so we could do this killer show at the Elks and have one night that's worth it. And we've toyed with ideas of like what's next after that, because we're doing some, you know, the big Party in the Pines and some of the festival type gigs. But as far as us headlining again, you know, at this point, I'm not sure you'll see us at the Birdcage again or, you know, some of these bars. It you know.
Well, and that's two-edged, because as a fan of your music, it would be great to see more often. But at the same time, if it is, if this can come out like you're saying, then it becomes a real event.
Well, and that is the question, isn't it?
No, that's
beautiful. Can we pull it off or not is the question right now. You know, and our goal for the Elks is a sellout, nothing less.
Nice.
And we really looked at it that way when we booked it, is we're not happy with anything until it sells out. And it's going to be amazing, you know, it really is, to see that many Prescott people in one place in such a beautiful theater. And we're bringing out, you know, $2,000 worth of sound and lights, and it's going to be big. You know, the lights are going to be like next level for us. It's the biggest light production we've ever done.
Very nice.
At a show with two lighting directors going, and it's going to be pretty big, you know.
Make Ted work for his money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm taking advantage slightly, you know.
No, that's great though. And like I said, it would be nice if we can get that next tier of entertainment out here, where it is for the musicians a paying a paying, worthwhile paying gig.
Right.
And for the fans to really have a premiere experience, to come out and see the full bands, the full light shows, and in an atmosphere that's what we're there for.
Right.
And not, like you say, in the background, because there's plenty of that going around.
Right.
There's plenty of great musicians.
And again,
doing that.
To not sound selfish, it's not just for us to kind of go bigger. It's like, it really is. It's the music for us and for them. Because if you're really interested in the music as opposed to just having a good time at the bar, then that's what we want to provide is the real deal show. And they don't come to Prescott that often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once or twice a year, you see a quality rock show in Prescott.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
So what do you see as some next level shows for you guys?
We're growing
the college, the event center?
You know, those are both things that we thought about. Not the event center, because that's pretty ambitious. You know, that's 7,500 people, I think. So that's a little ambitious at this point. But
Donald
500...
Trump couldn't even sell out that center.
Well, according to him, there was thousands waiting outside. Anyway,
I know. It was huge.
Were you there?
It was
huge.
They were
protesters.
No, I stayed in Prescott. I wasn't going to Prescott Valley.
I was there covering it, and it was. I'm like the least political person in the world, and I needed to come home and take a shower.
I get it. I have a rule though, like with stuff in public. Yeah, I can't talk about all that stuff because I get a little too. Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at some.
I can't. But yeah, I mean, some of the idea, definitely the college is, that would be next level. That's like the coolest spot.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the real deal. Jackson Browne and all those cats go in there. And that's a huge, awesome stage with the guys that work production over there are like definitely rock star status. Those guys are the real deal that put on the productions at the college. And
again, the mentality of that venue, just the feel, the vibe there, is people go there to see
you're coming
the
to
show.
See a show and we're going to give you a show, you know, and that's kind of all we can do is say, here we are, you know, and like, come on the journey with us, but we're going to give you a show, you know.
Let's go back to baby talk.
Oh, God.
Musician?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, though, I mean, I'm not, you know, if he says he hates music and loves, like, rap music and stuff, then I'm going to encourage him to listen to rap music or whatever.
Notice he said
I did. Why did I do that?
Yeah. I'm a roadie, so if our child doesn't like to be on the road, we're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. I like to travel. I don't like to stay in one spot for too long, and so I love that Wes loves to travel, and our child is coming with us by force. Or
when my little guy, when Anthony was probably 4, he started picking up a camera, and he's actually got a pretty decent eye.
Killer.
And I thought so. My wife says, take that from him now.
Right, right.
Because she knows.
Well, see, that's my first thought, too. That's my first thought, too, is like, don't ever be a musician. It's the hardest thing. It's the worst career choice. If you're smart and capable and articulate and all this stuff, go get a real job where you could make some money, you know?
You guys talking around names yet?
Savannah Marie or Jackson
Savannah
for
a girl.
Boy.
Jackson.
I hate Jackson.
Huh? It's going to be Jackson.
I don't like Jackson.
He's got a song already.
Wes won't be in the room for the boy.
I did kind of write a song, Savannah song, the other day.
Oh, nice.
I think I forget it already, but I recorded it on my phone like I do with everything. That's how I remember songs.
So what's in store for Miss Yoga here as far as the delivery? Are
Jesus,
you
Matt.
Full natural or
natural? I'm not
what?
All natural.
I'm not in favor of a C-section, but I'm not opposed to epidurals because it's not. I mean, you can sit in the United States and say it's everything's terrible, everything causes cancer, but like go to foreign countries and where they research these things, it's really not that bad for a child to be under an epidural.
You're going
to
be in there?
I'm already
I'm going
to
be in there.
I don't need to pretend to be a superhero in the delivery room.
We went through those classes over at Yavapai and literally we were the oldest people in
really?
There.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody thought, because my wife looks really young.
Uh-huh.
I've aged her more than anything else in her life. But everybody thought I was her dad.
Right.
And And there was because I do a lot of work for the local schools and things. There was a couple in there that were still in high school. They go, "What are you doing here, Mr. Santos?" Better yet, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, that's a good question.
But it was they kept stressing that, you know, if you know, we want all of you fathers in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh," and my wife's like, "No, you'll be here. You'll be."
Know.
Which I was gonna be. And then they said if it does if a C-section is required, you won't be allowed in there. And some of the other dads were like, "No, I'm still going to be in there."
Right.
So, well, we ended up having to go with a C-section. And in the back of my mind, I was like, "Oh,
right,
darn, I can't be." And they go, "Well, what do you mean? No, suit up. You're going."
Oh, God.
"No, they told me I couldn't go in." "Oh, no, you can come in."
Did you watch them?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God. It was not. Traumatized.
I watched a documentary that says you're just there to take care of her, so I'm just going to focus on her face and not look below the curtain. Yeah, I don't want to look below the curtain.
I didn't want to be in there. I it's like, I'll be, you know, because that was when the birthing was right here. Now it's all in Prescott Valley.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I was just thinking, okay, how far is the windsock from the hospital?
You're headed to the bar, huh?
They said, "No, you'll be in there." I was like, oh, my goodness. But I'm glad, you know, in hindsight, I'm glad I am.
I hear you.
Let's thanks for your time.
Thank
I
you,
hope
Matt.
Wes is worried. What are you asking all these personal questions?
No,
for?
I was just kidding.
Let's
I like it. We got honest during this one, didn't
this
we?
Was fun.
This was good.
A lot of fun. Let's close out. We're gonna I'll get rid of the grip and scratches and stuff.
All right.
But let's hear another one. You can play us out, and again
I'll play you out.
September. I don't know what I'm talking about. September's when?
Let me do this, Matt. May 5th at the Elks Theater, Wes Williams Band, the soul of New Orleans. Tickets available now, PrescottElksTheater.com or by calling 928-777-1730. That's pretty good. All right, we're going out on this one.
I got chest pain. My left arm is numb. I spring to my feet, this could be the big one. I Google my symptoms as I morbidly walk to the kitchen. I'm coming for you, Jerry, so I fry up all the bacon and I drink up all the liquor. Cause if I go down, I'm going down singing. If I go down, I'm going down slanging. If I go down, I'm going down. With a smile upon my face, the bird in place. If I go down, I'm going down happy. I've been living every day like it was the last day since I was 19 in Alpine Valley. I raise my arms, I smile real wide. I look up in the mirror just to see if I'm drooping on one side. I dance to the music on the iPhone speaker. Filling the house with the smell of bacon at 4 in the morning. Cause if I go down, I'm going down singing. If I go down, I'm going down slanging. If I go down, I'm going down. With a smile upon my face, the bird in place. If I go down, I'm going down happy. I've been living every day like it was the last day since I was 19 in Alpine Valley. Cause if I go down, I'm going down singing. If I go down, I'm going down slanging. If I go down, I'm going down. With a smile upon my face, the bird in place. If I go down, I'm going down happy. I've been living every day like it was the last day since I was 19 in Alpine Valley.
Thanks for having me, Matt.